We don't have all that much more to do, just a few more days, and then we're going to do some video presentation to go through all the halachas, how different types of scenarios, which type of entrance was the chayv in mezuzah. But let's just spend some more time first going through some other halachas relating to mezuzah. This is not about the location, this is about actually how the mezuzah is written, the materials, the cloth, the ink, the tzura, the psuchas, stumas, the shakai on the outside, and things along those lines. We'll try to go this very quickly to cover ground, because also we want to spend some time learning the laws of Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yetshuva, and Yom Kippur. So let's start over here. Resh Beiches Aleph Kvar Nisbar Beresh Simin Resh Ayin Aleph. The Sivitar Tefillin Mezuzah is Tzarech Ibud Lishman, that the parchment. The parchment must be made l'shem kiddushas mezuzah. You can't just take parchment, go to the parchments, or go to the store and go and buy parchment. Vishadas Rambam, the mezuzah in tzach ibu l'shma. The Rambam disagrees. Now this is a pella. This is a wondrous thing. The Rambam holds that a mezuzah does not require ibu l'shma. You can go to the parchment store. You go to a stationery store, art supply store. If there exists such thing anymore, everything is online. You go online, you go and you buy some parchment, some parchment paper. According to the Rambam, it's valid. Could you imagine the cost of a mezuzah would come down by a good $20 maybe? You don't have to have special parchment. The mezuzah in tzach ibud l'shma. V'tamu kol ha-rishonim alav. All of the rishonim are in shock. How can the Rambam make such a statement that a mezuzah does not need parchment that has been made l'shma? By extension, maybe the Rambam holds you don't even need parchment altogether. Maybe you can write on a paper. Doesn't have to be l'shma. You really need parchment? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how far it goes. The Chachmei Lunil, Shalu Mimenu, the Chachmei Lunil, name of a place, they sent a letter to the Rambam. How can you say such a thing? How could you write such a thing that the parchment, we have a tradition that parchment needs to be l'shma. The Chachmei Lunil, Shalu Mimenu, Havheshev Lochem Teshuva, Shenem Aspekes, and he wrote back a letter, an answer, and we don't understand what it says in the letter. The letter somehow is, I don't know what this means. He writes over here the letter over here.
The answer was not sufficient.
Didn't answer the question. Va'nachnu be'arnu sham b'sif gimel. The b'siat hashem will explain. We're down on the same page over here. Shadavar zeh mufurish b'yushalmi m'sechta yoma. Or she'ibdu l'shem komiya. Mutter lichtoiv olav mezuzah. It's a Gemara. The Rambam really has a source, a Yerushalmi, that leather that has been processed to write a komea, an amulet, for some type of mystical thing which they were familiar with, you can use for a mezuzah according to the Chachamim. V'rabban, Shin ben Gamliel Oimer, he disagrees with, he says, no way, it has to be made l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. U'pasak Tanakama, the Rambam obviously is passing like Tanakama. The ayin shamilsa b'taima, look there in the Gemara, look what the Rambam says. Miu l'dina, however, halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, 2017, we don't pass it like that. We pass it like the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and a mezuzah must be written on parchment that has been processed, l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. Miu l'dina k'ayim l'am k'ru k'roiv rabbi seinu d'gam mezuzah tzach ibud l'shma v'imlaf postel v'hochi k'ayim l'am, that's what we said. Therefore, it's a given. You have to have special parchment that has been processed, l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. Next, ois beis. The al eze or kaisa mezuzah. Now this is which what we're about to read now is outdated. It used to be that parchment was split. There are three different types of parchments. There is thick parchment, and then there is parchment. You take the heart of the animal, and there were different techniques. Sometimes they would scrape it. They would scrape the top surface of the parchment until you get down to a very thin, hard section, and sometimes they would not scrape it. And even when they would scrape it, the next issue is, on which side do you write? Do you write on the outside of the animal, or do you write on the inside? Now, I'm not familiar with all the details, but today, for whatever the reason is, there's only one type of parchment. Today, it's scraped down. The hide of the animal, it starts off very, very thick. You wouldn't believe how thick it is. It's very, very thick, and 90% or maybe even 95% of the leather, which you start with, is scraped away until you come away with a very, very thin piece of paper like what we have today, and that's what they write the Sifrei Torah upon. And I believe that I don't know if it's the Rambam Perek Aleph Din Ches Halacha l'Moshe Misinai sheyu kaisim amezuz al duch sustus. There's a Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. Each one is written on a different type of parchment. Mezuzah is written al duch sustus, which I think means they split it. They don't actually carve it. They split it. They peel it. You can peel leather. So the outer portion, when you peel it, the outer portion is called duch sustus, and the inner portion is called something else. The part that's called duch sustus, do you write on the outside where it used to be the hair, or do you write on the inside where it was attached to the inner layer? So the Rambam says we write out duch sustus v'kaisim b'mkoyim ha-se'or on the outside. The af al pi shekachi halacha, that's the halacha, v'chein im kosav es a mezuzah ala klaf. What's klaf? Klaf is the inside. When you take the leather and you peel it, the portion that's attached to the meat is called the klaf. Oyala gvil. Okay, these are three different types of parchment. I don't know. Three different types of parchment. Klaf, gvil, duch sustus, kosher. It's kosher b'diavet. Loinemer duch sustus el lemitzvah duch sustus is ideal for a mezuzah. At kan l'shar v'chivotzka rif barash v'ri malatayisus paisel b'gvil. They say no. They are of the opinion that if you write on gvil, it's pasul. K'mashakosav atur v'halacha kaim lon kirabim. Kirabim. We paskin that it's good. We paskin. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, he goes on to explain that the technique today is already going back in ancient times. It's not enough. It doesn't make a difference because today, I don't know why it's like this, but the Metzius says we do not have today three types of parchment. It used to be gevil, klaf, and doxustus. No more. Today, it's all the same. Why is it all the same today? I don't know. Maybe because nishtan hateva, the animals don't produce such good hide where you're able to do this, or technology changed. Technology changed to refine it with different types of ingredients, lime, all different types of ingredients. The way parchment is made today, there is no peeling. It's scraped. It produces a hard surface. And this is what we use for everything. It's all the same material that is used for a Sefer Torah is what we use for tefillin, and it's what we use for mezuzahs. There is no differentiation in different types of material for all three things, bizman hazeh. And it has to be from a kosher animal.
Does it have to be an animal that
had
proper
shechita? No, it does not. It does not have to have proper shechita, and in fact, they do not. It comes from, they take from goyim. They don't take from slaughterhouses. They take from goyim. It does not have to have a kosher shechita, but it must be a kosher animal. It's processed. And when they process it, they say l'shem mitzvahs sefer Torah. And once it's processed for the highest madrig of Kedusha, automatically it's good for tefillin and mezuzahs, which are a lower madrig of Kedusha. And it's all the same. And no two pieces of parchment are the same, feel the same. Every piece of parchment is manazeh, comes out different. There's a certain furriness, thickness to every parchment, and seifrim are very particular. Every seifer likes his parchment a certain way. Some seifrim like their parchment to be very smooth. Some seifrim like their parchment to be furry. They like a furry feel. They feel parchment. Some like it very furry, little furry. Every seifer has his preference. What does his preference depend on? How quickly he writes. If you write very quickly, then you like it to be, I think, thinner. If you write slower, you want more time for the ink to
the bleeding of the ink also.
The bleeding of the ink, how thick, every cipher, the real mumchim, they adjust the ink. Some have thicker ink, some have thinner ink. It depends on the time of the year. In the winter, there is less humidity. In the summer, there's more humidity. There's a lot of chachma. There's an enormous amount of chachma which goes into the ink, into the parchment, into your particular. But the point is, no two pieces of parchment come out the same. And when you go to the store to buy your parchment, either for a mezuzah, for tefillin, or for a sefer Torah, you're going to be very particular in how the parchment feels. You're going to feel it, and how you get like it. That's what you're going to purchase. I know I took a course in Safras. It's very interesting. It's very true. I like the furry. I like the one because I like very slow. Very slow. You like very slow. So you need to give the parchment more time to absorb. So if it's very furry, right, very slow, there's a danger that you're going to release too much ink, and it's going to run. So if you have an absorbent parchment, you're able to write slower, and the parchment will absorb the ink better. But if you're very quick, you're very swift, it's not good because it slows you down. So you want something very, very smooth so you can write very, very quickly. So you have to have a proper adjustment to what you want to do. And of course, the ink makes a difference. If you have more liquidy ink, then you're going to want a fuzzier parchment. If you have a thicker ink, then you're going to want a smoother parchment. So there are many different factors which go into all of these things. There's a lot of chachma. Nothing is simple. Everything is all Torah. Everything has its own Torah, its own chachma. Nothing is simple. Halacha Gimel. The cost of Rabbeinu Abbeis Yosef B'Sifei Tzricha Ibur L'Shma. That's a given you have to do. You have to process the hides, L'Shem Mitzvahs, Mezuzah, or what we do today is L'Shem Mitzvahs, Sefer Torah. L'Chatchila Al Mokim She'en Yishim Yamtim Al Ha'or M'Ubid L'Shma Yispatul Ne'Mitzvah Yichtevena Al Ha'or She'en Enim Ubid. So he says a Chiddush, like the Rambam. The Rambam says that if you're going to, the only parchment available is parchment that's not M'Ubid L'Shma, better have a mezuzah on parchment that has not been processed l'shma than not have a mezuzah at all. Because you can be samech on the Rambam, you do not need to move l'shma. Hanimsa v'dikai mitzvah b'yad 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 right away b'oid shemavakesh or move l'shma. In the meantime, write a mezuzah and then you'll go and you look for your move l'shma. Ad kan l'shane uv'kavanasa l'smech al Rambam. What it means over here is that b'diyavet, if you don't have anything better, so you samech on the Rambam. Go to the art store, buy some parchment, write a mezuzah, and you'll be happy. To lo matzich me'mezuzah imbul l'shma. K'ma shekasa pashu hu de'yak be'eno, you shall put it b'loy bracha. When you write a mezuzah on parchment that has not been processed l'shma, do not make a bracha when you put up the mezuzah. V'yahada limtzay or mu'ubel l'shma, you should search for leather that has been processed l'shma. Avol yeshom, some say not like this psak halacha, that don't even do it. She'ein laso, it's ken kevim dora poskim poskim mezeh, since we do not paskin like the Rambam, we hold that it's possible. Ein by te'eles, there is no benefit of putting up a mezuzah that's not kosher. V'gam yispo she'yotze yeshayetze yidei mezuzah, and therefore you're going to be misled, you're going to think you're going to be kind of the mitzvah, and therefore you're going to be misled. You're going to forget that the leather has not been processed l'shma, you're going to leave it there, and you're not going to replace it, and it comes out that your whole life you're not going to be having a mezuzah that's kosher l'chol hades. You could say this is about tcheles. Tcheles, once you get used to tcheles, the murex, in a chanami, it might be the murex is the proper tcheles. But what's going to happen if Mashiach comes and it's not the right tcheles? So there's going to be all this mix, and you're going to have the whole closet. You're going to have millions of pairs of tzitzit that have the murex, which might not be the best tcheles. And then you'll have the real tcheles, which will be kosher. It's going to be a very big mix-up. So you're not doing yourself a favor by doing a mitzvah that's only kosher misafik. Does the leather need to be processed l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah? You want to be samech on the Rambam because you have nothing better what to do? That's not necessarily the best way to do a mitzvah. If you're going to do the mitzvah that's only b'diyeved, you may forget and you may keep on doing it in this fashion and you'll go your whole life without ever coming around to upgrading and doing the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done correctly. Therefore, don't do this. L'chein toiv yoyse l'honiach kach b'loy bracha. He concludes over here is, I don't know, first he says, don't do this, do it, I'm not sure, he means over here is basically, over here, it's not a good idea, and if you are going to put up the mezuzah, you should be certain not to make a bracha. And by the way, he doesn't point this out, but he pointed this out before, whenever you have that situation, you're causing yourself a problem where you can never ever make a bracha ever again. It's a very big problem. If you put up a mezuzah that is from parchment that has not been processed l'shma, when you put up the mezuzah, you cannot make a bracha because it's only kosher l'fi the Rambam and it's not kosher according to all of the other opinions. So you can't make a bracha. Now let's say 6 months later, you finally get your hands on a mezuzah that's kosher l'chol hades and you want to replace your original mezuzah, you can't make a bracha. Because since already you have the mezuzah on your door, and that mezuzah is kosher l'fi the Rambam, so taking it down and putting up a new mezuzah, you can make a bracha. because the door already has the bracha. So you're putting yourself in a situation also where you're not going to be able to make a bracha when you replace the mezuzah. We had this example with the door. If you put the mezuzah according to the Rambam holds that you must have a door. If you don't have a door, you can't make a bracha. Just an archway. We don't paskin like this. But according to the Rambam, if you put a mezuzah on an opening when there is no door, you can't make a bracha. Then, when you get the door, you install the door. So now you take off the mezuzah. Now it's tasev lemon also. You have to take the mezuzah or put the mezuzah back on. But since, according to other paskim, you are yoitzed the mezuzah, it's too late to make the bracha. You have already been mekayim the mitzvah min ha-tayra. So now by putting the mezuzah back up, you can't make
the
bracha.
So you buy an apartment, and the mezuzah's there, and you take it.
So someone else made the mezuzah.
You can't make a bracha on the new mezuzah.
You mean you want to upgrade the new mezuzahs? That is correct. That is correct. If you want to upgrade, you're not satisfied. You move into an apartment and the previous owner left mezuzahs and you are not satisfied with the kashrus of those mezuzahs. You want to upgrade to a more expensive mezuzah and you replace them. You do not make a new bracha. That is correct. Because the doorway already has the mezuzah. You're putting a better mezuzah, but you do not make a bracha. And this is saying over here that whenever you put a mezuzah in a place when you yoytze l'fi one day, but you're not, it's not l'chatchila, and you can't make a bracha, and now you're going to later on put up a better mezuzah, or rectify the situation, you're stuck in the middle. You can't make the bracha. You didn't make the bracha when you put it up originally, because it was not l'fi kol hadeis, and now when you upgrade and you do l'fi kol hadeis, maybe the original opinion that you followed was good enough, and that means you can't make a bracha, you're stuck nowhere. Next halacha dalit. Shelo lichtoiv, shelo kisidron. Okay, this is why mezuzahs are so expensive. Or when you find a mistake, or mezuzah has a crack, there's nothing you can do. You have to replace it with a brand new mezuzah because the mezuzah must be written in order. If you write one letter out of order, the mezuzah is puzzled. This halacha applies to tefillin and mezuzahs, but does not apply to a sefer Torah. Shaloi lichtoiv shaloi kisidron. Kamo b'tfil, like tfil, must be written in perfect order. Kiloimar, shichtevena dafka ala seder, haksu b'toira, v'shalo kisidron. If you write even one letter out of order, pesula. Ulechin yizoher shalo yishkach afilu oisachas. If you forget to write one letter, and you want to go back and put the letter in out of order, it's puzzle. V'im shachach ein lo takana, there's nothing you can possibly do. V'imzuzo lemahani t'liya, you can't go hang a letter in the middle. Or mechiko, or racing, like you can do in a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, you can write backwards, but not in a mezuzah. Or mechiko, v'lichtoi v'ha'is achar yaksiva so'ish acharav, elim kein yochel ligar kol aksav. The only thing that you can do is you can erase everything backwards until the place where you made the mistake. If you wrote three words and you realize you left out a word, so what you can do is you can erase the last three words and then write the word you're supposed to write and then write the next three words. And that way everything will be written in order. So when you, as long as you can erase everything you've done going backwards. So by the way, in modern day Safos, if a slave makes a mistake and he realizes the mistake, it's a very big problem because he has to wait. You cannot erase wet ink. I don't know how it works in the artwork, but the reality is, in Safros, if you write something, good morning, when you write something in Safros and ink is wet, there's no way you can erase it. You have to wait until it becomes hard like a rock. It's perfectly dry, and then you go and you can erase it. And in fact, the inks that we use today are so permanent, you have to actually use special, you have to use a machine to come out to erase it. They have special machines. They're like, they basically have erasers. They have erasers on the end, and they're drills, and they spin very, very fast, and you apply it to the parchment, and it's able to somehow remove the friction. No, not a razor blade. It doesn't work well. When you use a razor blade, what happens is you damage the parchment when you use the razor blade, and also it doesn't really get it out. It doesn't really work. You have to cut off a piece of the parchment. When you're erasing today, the inks are so powerful, and the nature of parchment is absorbent. It's not like paper. It actually absorbs in the flesh of the parchment. There's an absorption. So taking a razor blade and scratching with a razor blade doesn't work very well. It's very messy. It's very ugly. It leaves over a very, very big stain, and it's not so easy to write on top of it. So you have to remove it by basically slicing away a piece of the parchment. So there are special machines which are very good for this. It's a lot of friction, a lot of heat, and basically it pulls off, it scratches, it takes away a little sliver of the parchment itself. And that can only be done when the wheat ink is perfectly dry. So if a sefer today is writing a mezuzah, if a mezuzah takes a mezuzah, it takes about 3 hours for a sefer to write a mezuzah. So how much? It's a lot of work. 3 hours. You know, how much you get paid an hour? Professionals get paid an hour. I don't know. Everyone is different. Some get paid $100 an hour. Some get paid $200 an hour. Sefers don't get paid that kind of money. Okay, they write a mezuzah for 3 hours. They get paid. If they're lucky, they'll get paid $70-$80 for writing a mezuzah, spending 3 hours writing a mezuzah. It's not high. They don't get a lot of money for writing a mezuzah. And then you make a mistake. I got to the end of the mezuzah, I left out one letter. So you don't want to waste all your time. I spent 3 hours writing the mezuzah. That's for me $100. I'm going to waste all the time. So what am I going to do now? Another thing I can do now, I got to put it down on the side, let it dry. How long? Not like by Hachnosa Sefer Torah. Hachnosa Sefer Torah, they fill in the ink and they blow, right? And then they do Hagba. It can dry enough to do Hagba and to go dance into the shul. Right, if you make a mistake, you cannot go back. Because that's what I'm saying over here, is that you make a mistake, you can't. So when it dries, there are different types of drying. It can dry enough that you can do Hagba and you can do the Hachnosa Sefer Torah. But it does not dry, you do hair dryers. But it's not going to dry enough for you to erase it. Just because you take a hair dryer and you blow on it, and you can put your finger on it, and there's no ink, it's dry, that's not dry enough. What?
One letter something?
Even one letter out of order, the mezuzah's puzzle. And there's nothing you can do. You can't go backwards. The only thing you can do is you can erase everything until that letter. As long as you don't have Hashem's name. As long as you have not yet written Hashem's name. Because Hashem's name you can never erase. So if you did not write Hashem's name, and you wrote a word or two or a few letters, so the solution is just erase everything you've written until now, and then you can continue writing where you left off, and you'll write in order. But in order to do that, you have to first erase. How do you erase? In modern times, you have to wait for it to dry. Waiting for it to dry can take a very, very long time. It might even take a day until the ink is totally dry, where it's now safe to erase it. Because if the ink is not totally dry, there is a small degree of moisture in the ink itself. When you try to erase it, you're finished. You're going to ruin the whole mezuzah for sure. So it's a very tricky thing. It's a very frustrating thing when a sefer spends 3 hours writing a mezuzah and he realizes he made a mistake towards the end, and now it's going to, all that time was went to waste. He's going to have to put it aside, work on a new project, and come back tomorrow and erase it and finish it off. You can't finish it off right now.
If you have a toss of mezuzah, you check your mezuzah.
So
you do make a bracha to the mezuzah.
No, you don't.
Why?
You don't. Because
you
until now, you assume it became possible. The assumption is, you assume it became possible right now. You're asking a question, what happens if the letter is wrong? You're right. You're asking a good question. I don't know, maybe you're right. Let's say the mezuzah is possible because it was a misspelling. Missing a word. So then it was possible lagami. So when you put up a new mezuzah, you make a bracha, that door never had a mezuzah. L'chari, you're right. You should make a new bracha. You're right. But let's say you find a crack. 99% a crack. The letter's cracked. And the crack is near lay 9. If the crack is not near lay 9, the crack is only when you go like this, you see a crack, then you can fix it. But even though it's possible, but if you can see it's only not near behavior, you can fix it. But let's say it's obvious. It's obvious that it's possible. So we assume it happened now. It happened immediately, or it happened, and the truth is, you know, many times it does.
Because
when you open it, when you enroll it, it's a very big problem with tefillin.
When you took it off.
It's a very big problem, like, especially when it comes to tefillin, which costs a fortune of money. They advise, you know, don't be too diligent, overdo it in checking your tefillin. Every time they check your tefillin, you're really damaging the tefillin. There's always the wear and tear of opening and closing of the tefillin is not good for the parshios.
They say you have to check it your whole
lifetime. It's machlekes apoyskim. It's a big machlekes apoyskim. Bizman has a Shulchan Aruch, it says twice in 7 years. So there are many apoyskim that say that Bizman Hazeh, it's a pella to say such a thing. I don't know how you can say against what says Shulchan Aruch. It's that Bizman Hazeh doesn't apply. Bizman Hazeh, our tefillin are written with such, the technology is so great, it's so good, and as long as you store it, You keep it in a climate-controlled area. You keep it in a shul, in a locker, and the shul is cool. You don't take it in the car. Take it in the car, and the heat, you know, then you let it leave it. It will melt away. But if you never take it out of shul, and it stays in your locker, and the shul is always a normal temperature, so there are many poskim that say if you had your tefillin computer-checked, okay, that's very important, it was computer-checked, and it was checked by a very good sofer, and everything is good and fine, you know, mechuyev. Another rabbi, you should not check your tefillin for at least 10 years. At least 10 years. Not everyone is so happy with that pesach halacha. Some say it doesn't matter. Halacha is halacha. If they get ruined, so you have to have no choice. You have to buy a new tefillin. Too bad for you. You have to buy another $1,000. $1,000. The biggest smiler, you understand? The biggest smiler of buying tefillin is not so much for you. You're employing a very poor person. Most of the sofim write tefillin Eretz Yisrael. They're very poor. They're very poor, so you're doing them a very big toiver. You're doing someone a very big toiver. You're giving them parnasa. Like someone said to me, how dare you complain about this yeshiva? How dare you open your mouth? You realize this yeshiva, how many people they employ, how many people have parnasa, they get their check on time, they have health benefits, they have a life, they have what to do with themselves. Who cares what they teach? They teach Yados, they teach Christianity, they have Ashkafas that are a little bit not your style. Who cares? Look at the Chesed. Look at how many people are employed. So that's a wonderful thing. And you know, he's so right. What?
Half of them is relatives.
Half of them are relatives. So what? So even if half of them are relatives, so they have Parnassah. It's so true. It's so true. You have to look at someone has parnasa. There's nothing more important than having parnasa. Everyone said, all the gedolim say this. The biggest chesed you can do for a person is to give them a job. So someone has parnasa, wonderful. What bad can you say about an institution that employs people? They give them what to do with them. It's almost what.
Definitely pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes. You're employing keeping people off the streets. It's not a joke. So when you buy a new pair of tefillin and mezuzos, you should appreciate that you're giving someone parnasa. Think about it like that. Whoever you buy to them, because the Ruba, the people who write, there are some people who they do for fun, I don't know, but Ruba, 90% of the people who are writing the film mezuzos, they're not wealthy people, and they need the parnasa, so it's a chesed. Like even buying svarim. I once, a person wanted to give me money for svarim. So I don't need the svarim. So he said to me, no, you understand something. The type of svarim that you're buying, he said to me, the people who publish these svarim, they're very poor. They're very poor, and therefore, you know, by buying the svarim, you're doing them a taiva. You're going and you're giving mechazek people who need the money. They wrote a sefer. You buy the sefer. You're never going to look at the sefer, but it's an
act. For it also.
Every roof, it's an act of chesed. You always have to appreciate the big picture. Not to be so selfish. Chazal say this especially about the sefer. It's one of the things is that it's like almost a curse. Chazal say is that there's people who write the people who write seferim. They're unfortunately not wealthy. They need the parnasa. Weiter halacha. Okay, we're talking about over here writing backwards. Okay, let's go further over here. Let's say we're on the left. Let's go off the top of the column. On the top of the left column. The left column on the top of the long stuff near the lichtav ha'is achrek ksivas ha'is achrev elim ken. You're not erase elim ken yochel ligol kol ha'kosef. The only time you can correct a mistake is if you erase everything that you've written until this point. Achrei ha'tos v'lichtav al vakim agirar, and then you're going to rewrite.
Erase
everything, and then you write. And you have to not forget, this is very important, they teach you in Safra school is, when you erase, you ruin the sirtut. You're not allowed to write in a mezuzah. This is the worst, it's the most chamor, unless you etch into the line a mark as a guide, to make sure you write it straight. Now we do sirtut in the Sifrei Torah, in mezuzos, in Megillas Esther, and everything we do sirtut. And we do sirtut every single line. And we do it on the side, every single line, and on the sides. It's not always me'ikar hadin. I don't know all the details, but when it comes to mezuzah is the most chomor. mezuzah must have sirtut, every single line. When you erase, they taught us this, very people don't, when you erase this, even when the sefer comes to shul, like you have a sefer that's apostle, and it just, the sefer has to erase. So he takes his razor and he starts erasing. You know, it's not so simple, you're allowed to write, until you redo the sirtut. Because when you erase, you're going to ruin that etch in the parchment that serves as a guide to write straight. And even if you don't need it, even if you have a very neat handwriting, I don't need it, I can write straight without the guide. It doesn't make a difference what you can do. It's halacha, lemoshe, misinai. There must be sirtut. There must be an etch. So some say they come with a razor, with like an awl, and they have their little guide. And after they erase, you see a good sefer, he erases, he takes out like an awl or like the back of a razor blade, and he takes like a piece of like a credit card or some guide, and he redoes the sirtut, and then he makes the correction. It's a very important step. And when it comes to a mezuzah, it's ma'akev. Sefer Torah, I don't think it's ma'akev as much, but in a mezuzah, it's ma'akev to redo the sirtut. The fourth line down. What about the parashios? Maybe you'll tell me that in each individual parasha you have to write in order. But let's say you start with V'hoyim Shemaya, the second parasha, and then you go back and write the first parasha. It's puzzle. The din of Kiseder is not just in the parasha itself. The din Kiseder is in the parashos as well. The gam the parashos being the Kisidron period. V'hoch isa b'mechiltos, so parashas bo, in parashas bo, b'tfilin. Kisav m'shloi kisidron. It says that by tfilin. If you write the tefillin shloi kesidron, yignuzu, they must be put in gneiza, shemis. Even though it says that there is regard to tefillin, v'huadin mezuzah, v'chein ab yushalmi, perikav de megillah, the ain't holim tefillin mezuzah, the ain't holim tefillin mezuzah, l'fich tzorach kesidron, that we are not, the ain't holim tefillin mezuzah, l'fich tzorach kesidron, we are not toil, we don't hang letters in the middle of the rows. If you make a mistake, you can come back and put a word in the middle of them, in between two rows, because that means you made a mistake. It means automatically that it was not written in the proper order. So there's nothing to talk about. V'hoyu l'totof osvein enecha. If we dash in the word v'hoyu, then it must be written in order. Behavayasim yehu, it must be in order. Utli aser af kisin. Now he has an interesting idea. Let us say, for example, you see you're running out of space. Okay, you're running out of space, so the only way you're going to be able to get to the end of the line is if you squeeze in a word in between the lines. I'll do it in order. I'm not playing games here. I'm going in order, but I'm going to put the next word above the line, like a carrot, like in English. You can do an edit, a manuscript, so you put a carrot and you start writing something in between the lines. So that's what I'm going to do by tefillin. I'm going to put the next word in between the lines in order to save space, so I can fit what I need to fit at the end of the line. But it's kisidron, and in a Sefer Torah where you don't need kisidron, you're allowed to put words in between the lines. So can you do this when tefillin and mezuzos? No. They have a higher standard. A higher standard, even though it's written kisidron, you're not allowed to put even one word between the lines. Halacha hey, v'dina l'inyin l'hadyoy, v'aksiva v'atagin, v'shalshan his gates, k'mo b'Sefer Torah. You have to have ink that's made. Ink has to be, does not need to be l'shma. There's no such halacha. Ink needs to be made l'shma, but the ink must be min amuter b'ficha. It may not come from products, animals that are not kosher. You cannot use shirotzim. You cannot go use an extract from a non-kosher living creature for your ink. But you can use chemical compounds. That's used today. You want to go use some type of man-made ink is mutter. It's synthetic. Anything that's man-made, as long as it's not produced from an animal that's not kosher, is permitted.
It has to be black?
Black. Must be black. Must be perfectly black. If you write it black, and over time, over 100 years, it turns brown or red, so it's kosher. As long as it starts out black, it can turn into another color at a later point in time, as long as it's in a shade of black, which includes red and brown. But nothing but green or yellow, things like that is no good. Invisible ink is also no good. You can't have a sefer Torah with invisible ink. Now there are tagin, shan, and skates, kumum, sevator, you must have tagin. The tagin must be also part of sevator, or das ramam, ik tagin, shal, shan, and skates, kumum, zuzzah. This is a fascinating thing. The ram holds, you don't need tagin in sevator. The halachas of having tagin are only said by a mezuzah. Isn't that amazing? The whole thing is only the mezuzah. We never even see anyway. Kamosha, Be'arna, Be'sivu, Reishan, Gimel.
Tagim don't have to be put in Siddur.
What? Oh, so that Rabbi Cohen, when he was here like 2 years ago, he spoke about that, is that they do not need to be Kisidron. That's correct. Tagin can be put in Siddur later on, and like he said, told us, that there's an industry near Yisrael, Seif, like we said, they make very little money. They don't make. So some Seifim, it's just not worth their time. To write tagin, the amount of time you can write a mezuzah, you can write two mezuzahs. A mezuzah, sefer, well, let's say you get $70 a mezuzah. If I have to go put all the tagin in the mezuzah, it's going to slow me down. I only can write one mezuzah. I have a family to support. I would rather make $140 an hour, for $140, than $70. Oh, but the tagin, I'll go pay a little kid to put the tagin in. The tagin is no big deal. What's the big deal? Just to go put tagin in. So I'll write the mezuzah without tagin very quickly. I'll make my money, and I'll give it to an assistant who's not skilled, minimum wage, to do the tagin for me. So many seifrim do this today in Eretz Yisrael. They don't. The real professionals who make their real parnasa by writing very quickly, very skilled, will not do the tagin. They'll just do the mezuzah, the letters, and they'll give over the mezuzah to someone else later when it dries to do the tagin. So some people hold that it's not right. Since it's technically it's kosher, it's kisidron, but if the Torah demands that a letter be written in the proper order, it's in the spirit of halacha, then you should write the tagin in order as well. So not every poysek in Eretz Yisrael is pleased with this custom that seifrim have taken upon themselves to make parnasa, to have someone else write the tagin later on, shaloi kisidron.
But according to the Rambam, it says you don't need tagin.
No, the Rambam says when it comes to tilling, you do that, the mezuzah, the ikur tagin is mezuzah. You do need tagin.
Right, but it doesn't need kisidron.
No, you do need b'di'evet, you don't need kisidron, because the kisidron is only on the ikur ha'os. It is a small defect in the letter, but the letter still looks like the letter, you're allowed to go back and correct it.
I saw it, sorry for Eretz Yisrael, he made a roll, you know, like that roll, he had like 30 mezuzahs, one after another, without the roll.
Yeah.
And he gave the roll to somebody.
And then he slice it?
Huh?
And then they slice it?
Yeah, and then they slice it and bite it to see if there's any mezuzahs.
Interesting idea. Okay.
He's a quick writer.
Yeah, right, they're very skilled. There are people who are very skilled, they just zip it up, and it's a big difference in how much money they can make if they don't have to do the tagging. Okay, someone like me, you know, you can sit a whole day writing a mezuzah. You go out of your mind, right? You go one letter at a time. You kill your eyes. It's not for the faint of heart. But there are people that they're natural. It goes, and they have these dilemmas. So Yerabam holds the ikur tagin is when it comes to the next. Sirtot. The etching, it's ma'akev, kemo, shabiyana, b'sim, reshan, gimel, v'shech, sirdu, l'ikuva, v'im, kosev, l'sidu, psula, v'zeu, halacha, l'moshe, m'sine, v'chos, v'ramam, perkei, din, gimel, d'im, lo, yosa, tagin, o, yishachosef, behen, o, gora, mechen, o, lo, yposel, arkan, l'shon, the Rambam holds, that even though the ikar tagin are by a mezuzah, if you don't have tagin, it's okay. And by the way, a lot of the old mezuzahs, did not have tagin. Okay, that's not going to happen. Today we live in a very frum world. It's not going to happen today, a new mezuzah without tagin. But in the olden days, these little teeny mezuzahs you used to see in the olden days, remember those days? Where everyone had on the door these teeny little mezuzahs, like this size, and you open it up, and they were just like written in like a very bare ksav. They didn't have tagin. There was no tagim with those, so therefore it's kosher. It's also he holds that it's kosher. Igar meyam loy pasul at kalashon v'yesh kosher. Some hold that it's mamish pasul. Lifso kishachitzar tagim. Some hold that there's no tagim. It's pasul. Umotu la'asas tagim afilach aksiva. Like we said, you can do the ksav. It's not. There's no ikav kesidron. Ve'mizem mishum shal kesidron. V'kam oisios mutu lotzes chutz l'shido. Now another halacha. It has to be aligned, justified. Okay, justified. Let's say it's jagged. One row comes out here, one row. It's a little two letters, one letter, three letters. How many letters can come outside of the row? So it says over here, like I said, the Torah, you're allowed to have two letters, not more than two letters, or three letters, but it cannot be the majority of a word. If you have a word that has three letters and two of the letters are outside, I think it's possible because it's the majority of a word. You have a word that has a lot of letters, so you can have up to, I remember, two or three, but it cannot be the majority. And if it's an entire word, of course, it's possible. The Oisios Hashem, Afilu Oisachas also, and the Hashem's name may not come out of the law in even one letter. You may not erase, if a blob of ink, you may not erase the ink in order to form a letter. You have to form the letter by writing the letter, not by etching the inside and the outside to form a letter. We already learned this, we already discussed this, these are all explained in our Chaim. Let's do one more paragraph. The Kosav Harambam Reish Perake Kesa Kosmas Zamzuzo Kosam Parisha Shmad Vam Shmoya Al Daf Echod Biriachas. Two parashios, Shema v'Hoyo im Shemaya, on one piece of parchment, one column. The ois l'revach melamata, revach melamala. You must leave over a drop of space on top of the parchment and a drop of empty space on the bottom of the parchment. Margins. How much? K'mechatzit siparen, at least a chatzit siparen, a half a nail. Now, I don't know what that means. It means the mashahu. If you go and you write your mezuzah columns, you never saw that before, right? You have a mezuzah and you have two, three columns of the mezuzah. Keshera, b'di'evet it's kosher. Uvilvach lo yasene kizonav. Do not make it like a tail. Oy k'may ogul, oy bekuba. Don't do something bizarre. I don't know what this means. Zonav, it gets smaller and smaller. I think that means it gets here. You have it's tall. The next column is smaller. Is smaller, smaller, or you make like a certain, this first column is small, then it's bigger, then it's smaller. Don't, be consistent. If you're going to write your mezuzah in multiple columns, no one's going to do this today, be consistent. What happens if you write to two parashos, or even one parashah, whatever, on two different pieces of parchment, and you stitch them together, like a Sefer Torah? Rashi disagrees with the Rambam. He holds that if you write a mezuzah on two columns, the mezuzah is psula. The Mordechai cost of Shiesh Rayel Zem Yoshami Ayin Shem Vildas Taitzus Afilu Bebez Oiros. If you have two different pieces of leather parchment, you stitch them together. I'm talking from Kashera. In other words, we have so many different opinions. Some hold the two pieces of parchment is no good, some hold this good, one column is good, two columns no good. Everyone, there's a whole challenge of opinions of what exactly is required. So the Chachila, we don't play games today. Today, you're not going to be able to find in the store anything other than one column and one piece of parchment. No one's looking for coolers today when it comes to these matters. This is simple. What is a kakuva? So we mentioned it should not be a gula, should not be a zonov, and should not be a kuvahi ka oyel shutzar lemala, verochav lemata. You start off narrow and you get like a pyramid, it gets wide on the bottom, rochamata, vikazonovu, rochav lemala, vitzar lemata. Again, no one's going to do this. We write in one column, justified. Everything about a mezuzah is standardized. And he's going to mention the next, we'll learn tomorrow. Everything is standardized exactly, every word appears, believe it or not. Every word has exactly 22 lines. Every word, every line starts with this particular word. There's nothing more standardized today than a mezuzah.
Can you use a stencil?
What? They do. They lay it out. Actually, there are a lot of techniques that they do in order that it should be perfect. You know, there are different techniques to reduce mistakes. But a Sefer Torah is not standardized. Sefer Torah, even today, with all the standards today, there's always going to be some little, it's always not going to come work exactly. But a mezuzah, even tefillin are not always exact. But a mezuzah, there's nothing more standardized today than a mezuzah. We'll see Mitzvah tomorrow exactly how it's written. All right, we'll stop here. We'll take a short break.